Then, after you graduate from OU, then what?
I went to work. I was very involved in student government, so I got elected as the University of Oklahoma Student Association president. That was during the war protest years, and so we were really active. Delegations of us would meet with the administration during that period of time to try to keep peace and calm and all that. So I met a number of administrators, and I'm sure I was a little less hairy than my student colleagues and maybe a little less radical, but one of them had been the Dean of Engineering, Gene Nordby, and he had become the Vice President of Administration and Finance. Somewhere in that process, he had said, if you have an interest, I could use somebody in my office. I wound up interviewing for a number of different jobs and had some great job offers coming out of engineering. I remember Procter & Gamble down in Dallas and going through the Ivory soap line and seeing that they were actually testing the bars of soap to make sure they floated, which was the unique thing about Ivory soap. So all kinds of engineering process jobs, but this opportunity at the University of Oklahoma just seemed much more interesting, and it proved to be. So I went to work in the administration at the University of Oklahoma fresh out of college.
What was the job?
I was probably an analyst in the Office of Administration and Finance because I remember what we spent a lot of time doing is adopting standards for space usage so I could take an academic department and see if it had too much space or too little space. We ran lots of new building projects. We were there at the time we built Lloyd Noble Center. I don't know if they've replaced it now, but Lloyd Noble was quite a project. I remember we hit water when we dug down and lost a bulldozer. We like to never get the bulldozer out. They just sunk in like a sand pit. We were around for the building, the new law center, the Lloyd Noble Center, and lots of buildings, physical sciences building. There's a lot of building going on. The building I was kind of proud of was we expanded the football stadium. You'd normally just raise your money for the project or you'd have an appropriation for the project and then you'd go spend that money. And the state treasurer always kept all the interest earnings. Another friend of mine who was the comptroller, Jerry Farley, well, we were the first project I remember sitting in front of Leo Winters as a young pup, making the case to him that the bids came in over budget and we weren't going to be able to expand the University of Oklahoma football stadium unless I could get the interest earnings off of that money to add to the budget for that project. It must have been just hysterical because here's Leo Winters, you know, he's this famous, controversial state treasurer who prided all the interest earnings. He agreed to do that, and since that time, all projects now enjoy their interest earnings, but we managed to get the University of Oklahoma that first expansion where they blew off the old deck and put up a new deck.
You were the person asking Mr. Winters, and you were how old?
Oddly, 24.
You mentioned the Warriors. Let's just go back a little bit. You were talking about Vietnam, a little bit about the demonstrations on campus at the University of Oklahoma. Anti-war, I suppose.
Right. Herb Holloman was president. Herb was a brilliant guy. He came in and did a planning document. He spent a year before he took over on the campus with a massive planning committee. And he developed a book called The Future of the University, which is to this day just a remarkable document that charted a course for the next several decades for the University of Oklahoma. And Herb was a liberal guy. You know, he came from Massachusetts, so he tolerated a lot more protests than otherwise. It wasn't unusual to have him sit cross-legged on the floor with a bunch of students in his home and have a long beer-drinking session. And so that went a long ways to keeping the peace on the campus. We still had lots of protest and lots of running around and occupying the administration building and sit-ins and all of that. The war seemed to be quite an unjust thing at the time to all of us. But I think Herb Holloman's leadership kept it relatively calm. But Dewey Bartlett, who was governor at the time, wasn't amused by the liberal tendencies of Holloman. So they were always trying to get the National Guard engaged and did once or twice, but not in a serious way. I realize Kent State and the death of those students was an unusual thing, but it was amazing to be there and to realize how tense it was and how radical many views were on both sides and how much the establishment objected to that protest. So it was remarkable to see the peace being kept.
And you were exempt from Vietnam because of your education?
No, this was back in the lottery day. I drew a relatively high number. And I was married and, you know, gosh, it seemed like I got married at 12, but I was married at 19 years of age. We've had a child quickly. So I was married with a family, but I don't think there was an exemption there. It was just the lottery that kept me out.
Okay, let's mention you're married to?
Married to Rhonda. Rhonda Gayle Smith. I saw her dragging Maine in Elk City, Oklahoma. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and she somehow managed to be driving a new red Buick. Elk City is 7 miles away from Canute. Elk City girls would never date a Canute boy. That was like Dominican Republic, you know, hanging out with the Haitians or something. So I grew a beard when I graduated from high school, or such as I could, and I hitchhiked to Dallas because my brother lived in Dallas, and he said the car market down there was better. So I hitchhiked to Dallas, which is a whole other story. But I got there and went out, and I bought a 1968 Mercury Cougar and drove it back, and it had Texas plates on it. So I pulled into the Safeway parking lot while Rhonda was parked there visiting with her friends and told her I was from Dallas, and she grew up in Texas, and so that was an immediate magnet. It took well into the evening before she figured out I was from Canute. By that time, it was too late.
So then you had how many children?
We had 4 children. Our first child was a son born in 1971. Sean David was our first child. And Tana is our oldest daughter. Kristen is our middle daughter. And Elizabeth is our youngest daughter.
At one time when you were at the University of Oklahoma, at the age of 29, you were the youngest executive officer in the university's history.
Bill Madowski, who was a very kind of wild-eyed president, very unusual, going to run for the U.S. Senate. You remember all of that back in the day. Bill Madowski stopped me one day because I, of course, came up with that press release and that distinction and issued the whole thing through the press department. He said, "You got more press for that youngest executive officer in the history of the state than I got when I was inaugurated president of the university," which is not true, but that was the way Madowski spoke. And I thought it was a pretty unique distinction that entitled me to sit at the table with the president of the university. And I was at the Health Sciences Center at the time, and the Health Sciences Center was always at that time trying to compete for more attention from what we called the main campus. So it was a privilege to be able to sit at that table and to make university-wide decisions.